Han Tote. Karate. All right. Always, Han Tote, rejoice. Like I said earlier, this is probably the shortest verse in the Greek Bible. And there's a lot to this. Philippians 4 and 4. Someone read Philippians 4 and 4 for me if you have that. Philippians 4 and 4 and James 1 and 2. Philippians 4 and 4. Does anyone have their Bible? James 1 and 2. All right, Brother Ray.
4 and 4?
Yes.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice.
All right. Rejoice in the Lord. And then James 1 and 2?
Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials.
Consider it all joy, brethren, when you consider various trials. What will it take God to do to your life to turn you around and make you walk the right path? What will God have to do to you to turn you around and make you walk the correct path? What will it take? Well, sometimes it takes trial. I want to show you something. This is just one of the things. That's a barrel of a gun. This is a barrel of a gun. That's the other part of the barrel of a gun. Well, I shot that gun, that's all I had left in my hand. Right there. This is it. See, that's it. Lots of people. That's all I had left in my hand. Now, I shot it in my right hand, and this barrel right here went to a 2x6 or 2x8 in the rafters and cut it half in two and sailed over about half a mile land in somebody's yard, and they brought this to me later because it sounded like somebody let off an atomic bomb in my yard, and that was the half of the barrel. I ended up with this. In the back of this barrel was this. I think this is what knocked the end of my finger off. Maybe. I don't know. But here is also the trigger guard. And then here was the lock. Twisted. And just destroyed.
Was it a cap and ball?
That's a cap and ball pistol. I never saw a gun in this world blow up like this one. This one was just like you had dynamite in it, as you can see. That's no exaggeration whatsoever.
What kind of gun was it?
It was a cap and ball, homemade.
Oh,
handmade from about 1860, 1850. It was a dueling pistol. Well, actually not a dueling pistol, a marksman's pistol, because it really shot accurately. It was about 60 caliber. Well, of all this stuff and all these pieces, one piece of that gun hit me in this finger and just made hamburger out of the end of it. The rest of it, I just had little pieces of it here and there in me. I still probably have some pieces of that gun in me. But how many angels do you think were injured in that situation? How many angels do you think it took to protect me and protect my life? I was just going on and doing my own thing with my life, and God was calling me to come and serve Him. This happened, and a bunch of other stuff. I was going down the road to mind my own business about 40 miles an hour going down Brundage Lane. And this dog runs out in front of me, and this guy is coming about 90 miles an hour the other side, 75, 80, 90. I don't know how fast he's going, but it was an Oldsmobile 98, great big car. And I was driving a Jeep pickup. And that dog hit in front of my car and knocked me sideways. Well, the guy was drunk. He'd been drinking, and he didn't see anything. He never saw anything because he was killed. I had my hands on the brake pedal,
after I hit the dog. You know, the dog, he'd run out of the bushes. It wasn't just right there. The dog was right there. I had my foot on the brake pedal, and the concussion of that accident broke the brake pedal off. A real heavy brake pedal like that. I pushed my steering wheel through the windshield, and my right knee, just made a curve in the dash like that and broke off the key in my knee. And I got out of that car after I was going 100 miles an hour backwards, it felt like. When that crash happened, it felt like I was going so fast backwards, and I was. I spun off, was going out in another direction. Like I ricocheted off of that car. And I opened the door, and the front end of the Jeep was gone. It wasn't even there. The engine was someplace else. The front end was just laying all over the car and everything else. And here I was, my hands were beat up because I went through the windshield, but I was still alive. 2 weeks later, a guy ran me off the road when I was going to Glenville, and I turned my car over in the air and run upside this hill and flipped it over and hit the ground like this. I cut my mouth half in two. And God was getting my attention. I started going to church. Now as I look back at all those things, I can say, well, thank God that God did all of them. Whatever it took, if he had to drop a meteor out of the sky and hit me on the head to get my attention to follow him, then that's what I was supposed to do. That's what I was supposed to do. Whatever it takes. I got hurt in the oil field. The last day I was going to work out there. Rejoice always. That's what it says here. Anto te karete. Rejoice always. Second person plural. Present indicative active. All right. Rejoice always. The last day I was out working in the oil field, I was as strong as a bull back then. I mean, when I graduated from high school, I was 6'2" and weighed 139 pounds. A year later, I weighed 240 pounds. Because I had something to eat. I was working out in the oil fields. But I was strong. And I'd been working out there, and all the guys I worked with, they were just, you know, they always bragged about how I could pick up the side of a car or something. You know. Well, we were moving the rig, and I had to work over. I wasn't supposed to be working that morning, but we had to work over because they were moving the rig, and the location was so bad out there at Bell Ridge, it was just like slick, like you were walking on glass. They couldn't get the cranes in there. So the pusher says, get out there and pick up all that equipment, put up on the catwalk and get everything all ready so we can move when the crane finally gets here so we can move fast. So get out there and do it by hand. And we had a bunch of bits to pick up, which weighed probably 300 or 400 pounds. I was picking them up, one in each hand, throwing them underneath the deal, you know. And we had outriggers that the pipes were setting on off of these catwalks. The great big long pipes, about 50, 60 feet long, that they'd lay all this drilling pipe on. And it was made out of like 5.5-inch drill pipe. And then it had a T on the bottom. And when it was a good day, I could go out there and pick one of them up. My whole life, they weighed about 1,000 pounds. I could pick one of them up and walk over and throw it up on the catwalk by myself. Well, that day, because it was so slick, I had three guys. One guy on each end, and I was in the middle. And we were carrying this thing over there, and we were just skating across the location because this is a bad part. The heavy wasn't bad. I got over there to the catwalk to put this big piece of pipe up there, and it just so happens that the guy on this end fell, the guy on this end fell, and all of their weight falling on the pipe, and me, I picked it up and put it up on the deal by myself. Included with their weight, too. And Larry Brown said, your back sounded like somebody shot a .22 when it popped. I walked away from there, and I just went like this down. I couldn't walk. My legs would just quit working. I hurt so bad on the way home. They wanted me to go in and get some coke out there at the Missouri Triangle. I walked in there and fell down 3 or 4 times on the way in there. But I was tough, you know. I was young. Dumb and tough. I got home and I couldn't hardly walk. So I called my chiropractor, and he was also an MD, and I called him, and I said, I need to come in there. My back's just killing me. I went in there, and he looked at me, and he said, man, alive. He took an x-ray, and he said, Jim, you'll never work again. You're shot. Your back's gone, man. It's a wonder you're not paralyzed right now. You've got a crushed vertebrae and disc and everything. It's just one piece. It's all smashed. Well, I crawled out to the car and got back in and went home, and I owned a service station. I was going to go work in a service station the next day, and I did. I kept trying, but I couldn't do it. You know what I ended up doing? God was trying to get my attention. What I ended up doing was laying flat on my back for about 4 years. Just going crazy, sitting there. Just couldn't do anything else. I couldn't do the things I'd done. I'd go out in the yard and I'd fall down and couldn't get up. And the oil company got out of the operation. They sent me to these terrible insurance doctors. They said, nothing's wrong with him. You know, baloney that they do. And the state of California now, the governor signed a paper where they can do that. You don't have any second opinions at all. And go to the insurance doctors and you have no choice. You got to make out whatever. Well, I ended up going to get no welfare to have an operation so I wouldn't be a quad or a paraplegic. And I had to go get on welfare, and then I had to wait for the insurance to kick in on that so I could go down and get my back operated on. Well, after that back operation, I got to lay down a whole lot. I had a guy take me down to the seminary down in Southern California. I went down there, and I bought every book that I could buy, and I started studying the Bible. And I bought a Greek Bible that was an old, all uniseals. It was all capitals. And I went through that Bible. It was not separated, and I separated every word in the New Testament, figured it out. How? Didn't know Greek very well at all. But that's why I'm teaching Greek to you tonight, is because of what happened to me then. So all these things that God puts in your life, whatever it takes for God to tear your head off, to get your attention, say, thank you, Lord, and thank you for His protection all the time. Car wrecks, explosions, all kinds of stuff. God brought me through it, and I'm still standing up here, even though I cripple around a lot today, but I'm very thankful that I can get up and go do anything. Rejoice always. Mark 9, 49 and 50. Someone read that one for me. Mark 9, 49 and 50. You understand? Rejoice always. What did James do? Rejoice when you have tremendous tribulation. Whatever it takes to get your attention, whatever it takes to hold you on the railroad track, thank God for it. If God has to break your legs, break your neck, make you a quadriplegic, whatever it takes for God to get you on the track, say thank you, God. It would be real good if you'd listened beforehand, but you can be dumb like me. You got that, brother?
You're getting home.
It's coming home.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another.
All right. Everyone will be salted with fire. The Lord says in the book of Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews, he says, every one of my children will be chastised if they're going the wrong direction. I'm going to beat their little bottoms and put them right in line. And I love them because I do that. You correct your children because you love your children. If you don't raise your children in real life, if you don't raise your children, you don't spend time raising your children, you will raise them for the rest of your life, I guarantee you. If you don't spend the first time raising your children, you'll be raising your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. I can guarantee you that. And God doesn't do that. If you're God's child, He's going to raise you. If you're God's child, He is going to correct you and put you in the right line. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Adi electos. prosukete. All right, now this adialeptos, it means not, it means to just absolutely unceasingly. Do not stop. That's what it means. Do not cease in any way. Ye pray. And the word ye pray there means pray for yourself. The other day when we were out in the ocean and we had this mishap, I'm really a good mechanic of all of these other things. And if I had fixed that boat myself, I wouldn't have made these mistakes. But these guys made these mistakes. And that engine locked up out there, pumped seawater in it, and it wouldn't turn over. And we started the little engine, and I had worked on it to get it started. Well, it was going. It was going. And it goes, boop, 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 pop, pop, pop. Wouldn't hardly run. And I said, you know something, Marilyn, we ought to pray. And what I say, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to pray to you. Because we're in a real strait right here, and we need your help because we're not going to make it in there. We got two storms coming here, one from me stretching, and thank you for the wind that is on our back. But help this engine to run till we get there. And I thought it was going to die all the way. It was running on one cylinder half the time. And it's two cylinders. And I said, thank you, Lord, and help us to be a blessing to somebody. Help this to turn around to be some way to witness. Some way to be a blessing to somebody's life. Well, that's what you do. When you're out there in the hospital in the middle of the night, pray that God will help you be a testimony to somebody. Pray. You know what the word pray, prosukete, second person plural, present, imperative, middle voice. That means to bend the knee. That's what it literally means, to bend the knee. You know when you really bend the knee is when you're in trouble. Huh. You pray to God, you bow down to God, and you get real serious. R.G. Lee says when you get in that kind of shape, it's not one of these polywanna cracker prayers. You start, your tears come down sometimes. And you say, Lord, get me out of this. If you just get me out of this, Lord, I'll never go here again. I won't go this route again. When you're out doing something you're not supposed to. Now, Ephesians 6:18. What does Ephesians 6:18 say? These are two short verses we have read here tonight. Ephesians 6:18. By the way, the book of Ephesians should not be the book of Ephesians. It should be a circular letter. It should be to all the churches.
With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert. With all perseverance and petition for all the saints.
All right. Pray for one another. Pray unceasingly. Pray for yourself. And pray for your brothers. And whatever happens, like James 1:2 says, be thankful. When it's happening, be thankful. 5:18. In Ponte Eucharistete. Tuto, Gar, Silama, Thiu, in Christo, Esu, Ace, Kimos. In all things, be thankful. Give thanks. Ye give thanks. In all things. In trials and tribulation, in happiness, in good times, and in bad times. In all things, ye give thanks. Look at that word, present, and then it's imperative mode. What's imperative mean?
Very important.
Do it. That's a command. Imperative means do it. You don't have a choice. You do it. Whatever condition you're in, you pray, and you be thankful. I remember when they were down there, I was in the hospital, getting ready to, I didn't know if I was going to live or not. So the last few moments that I had awake in this world, I was witnessing to my anesthesiologist and to these orderly, the operational deal. I was telling them all about the Lord and about His Word. And when I went to sleep, the last thing I knew when he put me out, I was talking to them, telling them about the Lord. Because that might have been the last words I ever spoke, because I didn't know whether to wake up or not. So why not make use of it? Just do it. In all things ye give thanks. For this, it says tutu gar, but actually it's gar tutu. In English, you have to switch it. For in this, or this, it is the will of God. The will, thelama. Thelamata. Thelamate. These are all words that are related. Thelama actually means spiritual activating force. Something that is driving you. Spiritual activating force. This is the spiritual activating force of God. In Ephesians, the first chapter, it says that God's will was to save man by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's His will. That's His spiritual activating force. What caused God to become flesh and come down here and live in human form and to save us and to pay for our sins? It was His thelema. Thelema. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It tells you how. In Christ Jesus. And then it says Asimos. Ace is just like the word eh in Hebrew. That's just like that in Hebrew. Here it is, ace in Greek. Alright? Like this. This is a sign of the direct object. Sign of the direct object. It means what is on the other side of this one. That's the way it would go in Hebrew, but on this way in Greek. What is on the other side of it is the recipient of all the action. Hereinto, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Okay, that's what it says grammatically. Everything above in this sentence is directed one place. In all things you give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, aimed at you. All right? Aimed at you all. Ace him off. And we are the you all here. Isn't that beautiful? God's will is for you to serve Him. God's will, you don't have any right to do your thing in this world. You know that? And you don't have any right to do things your way. God didn't leave you in this world. If you're His child, God didn't leave you in this world to do your stuff. He left you in this world that wherever you go and whatever you do is to serve Him and be a witness for Him. That's what you're here for. You're not here for you. You're here for others. And you're here for God. This is the thelema of God. The will of God. 5:19. Yes. Okay. Read that for me.
Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father.
All right. Where are you?
Ephesians 5:20.
Oh, thank you. Ephesians 5:20. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I thought you were going to read that for me. I thought you could. To pneuma me spanute, or spanete. This is a... It comes from spaname. And that word spaname there means to fight against. It says the spirit not you fight against. Don't fight against the spirit. Almost 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote this book. 2,000 years ago, God knew that He would ordain me to get here in this little class tonight and preach this verse. And what Paul wrote then, I am speaking today. It is not my words, it is God's words. I use it in different illustrations and everything, but these are God's words. And when I speak these words, they're not my words, but they're God's words. And when they're God's words, do not fight against them. Do not walk out of this church house and go the wrong direction. If you go out and do your thing, You are fighting against God. You're not fighting against me. You are fighting God. If you know, if you walk out of this church house today lost, you're fighting against God. If a gun has to blow up in your hand, a car has to run out in front of you 90 miles an hour, an elephant has to step on your head. You know, one girl, I was reading this last week about a girl. One woman got in bed. She got in bed and rolled out of bed. She didn't quite get on the bed, and she rolled out of bed and hit her neck on a little nightstand and woke up several hours later and started trying to call for help because she couldn't move. She had broken her neck. She became a quadriplegic. But she said later on, praise God, because that's what it took for God to get my attention. If God has to put you in a wheelchair, put you in a bed to get your attention, say, thank you, God, for loving me enough to turn me around so I couldn't go out and do the things I'm not supposed to do. Thank you, God. And don't fight against God. Don't fight against God's Word. Ephesians 4 and 30. What does that say? Ephesians 4 and 30. Paul is telling this church here that I'm preaching to you today. I'm telling you all these things. I'm telling you to be morally sound. I'm telling you not to be a lazy bone. I'm telling you to accept the words that God has given me for you. And don't fight against God. Don't you fight against the Spirit of God that is inspiring me to write down these words here. Because then you're fighting God. When you do. You got to have that brother right? Ephesians 4 and 30.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God who sealed you. That means you're His child. You're God. You don't own yourself. God didn't leave you here to do your own thing. God left you here to do His thing. You know what you're supposed to be here in this world for? If you bring a child in this world, you're supposed to do your absolute dead-level best to raise that child to go in the right direction. That's your number one priority in your life. Nothing else. Because that's what you're leaving behind in this world for your children. You're supposed to guide them. You're supposed to live before them and do the right thing before them. And you're supposed to take them to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever you need to do that. To teach them the will of God for their lives. That's what you're supposed to do. That's why God leaves you in the world. If you don't have any children, what are you supposed to do? God leaves you to be a witness into this world for others. Like that woman I told you about here a while back, when she went up to a woman went up on Sunday morning and went down and was crying and asked the Lord to save her soul. And she was an older woman. She was in her 40s. And the preacher asked her, what part of the sermon today affected you and brought you to the Lord? And she said, it wasn't anything. I didn't hear anything you said. It was the Spirit of God in my heart. But my neighbor lady, my next door lady, she had a hard time all of her life. And she was always a Christian woman. What that woman did brought her to the Lord. The Bible says, women, shut your mouth in your homes. You shut your mouth and you be the finest example of Christianity to your husband if he's a lost man, so that you, without speaking one word from your mouth, can lead him to the Lord. And I guarantee you that works. Because the Lord said it did. That if you lead that man to the Lord, that's the only way. You wouldn't have to say one word if you were the kind of Christian woman that you were supposed to be. 5 and 20. Look at all these short verses we have. Prophetios, may. Prophetios, may. Exuthenete. Look at these words. Prophetios. That's The word propheteus means prophetic utterings. This propheteus may ex uthenete, that is prophetic utterance right there. What I'm speaking to you tonight, when I speak the word of God, that is God's prophecy. The word prophecy means two things. It can mean to say beforehand something. In the Old Testament, told about Christ coming. But also it means to speak out the word of God. It also means to speak forth God's will. Acts 13:1, 1 Corinthians 14:31, 2 Timothy 3:16-7, 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Peter 1:17-21. These are all part of this verse right here. Acts 13:1. Who has that? Acts 13:1. And then 1 Corinthians 14:31, 2 Timothy 3:16-7, and 2 Timothy 2:15, and then 2 Peter 1:17-21. These are verses that confirm what the Word of God, what prophecy is. All right? Acts 13:1. Does anyone have that one?
Okay,
brother. Read that for me, Brother Ray.
Now they were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene.
All right, now they didn't have the Word of God yet there, did they? So what did God give them? He gave them prophets. All right, prophets and teachers. 1 Corinthians 14:31. Do you have that one, Brother Dave? 2 Timothy 3:16-17, Brother Ray, if you can get to that one.
For you can all prophecy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged.
All right. While the Word of God was being written, before it was received, God gave it to the churches. He gave the gift of prophecy. When they get up in a church service, either they'd have an apostle or they'd have a pastor, and the pastors were, it would have been nice back then, but just, you'd have to study before you come to church. You just stand up and God will speak through you. All right? And that's what they did back then. But now we have the Word of God. We have a better instruction now than we ever had before, because we have the complete Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, Brother Ray. And then 2 Peter 1:17-21, Dave. Have you got that one?
All Scripture is inspired by God,
mm-hmm,
and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness.
Training in righteousness. Look at that word. Training in righteousness. That's what's spanking you up straight. That's what it says. Go ahead, brother.
That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work.
All right, the word adequate there, and it means perfectly equipped. And that means, the word there, it comes from the Greek word teleos. Teleos means the end result. If God calls you to do something, He will give you the ability to make it to the end of the race. Isn't that beautiful? You got any more there? Is that it?
That was it.
Okay, 2 Timothy 2:15, just a page back. Back here, 2 Timothy 2:15.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth.
All right. Handling accurately the word of truth, the word of God. Okay, Brother Dave, have you got that? 2 Peter 1:17-21. This is a beautiful, beautiful verses here. 2 Peter 1:17-21.
These men are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them.
You and James?
No, 2 Peter.
2 Peter 1:17-21? About prophecy. It tells about revelation here.
Okay.
You were in 1 Peter, weren't you?
For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him.
He's talking about the baptism of Jesus, by the way.
This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it.
Okay, now it says we saw the Lord of glory standing there. We saw God the Son being baptized. And we saw the Father from heaven. We saw a epiphany of God's glory as the Holy Spirit coming right down on him. And you know what he says? And this is more important than that. We were eyewitnesses to that, but this is a more sure foundation. The Word of God that you have in your hands is even more perfect than those people that saw the Lord of glory there. This is a more perfect revelation. That's what Peter's talking about. This is a more perfect revelation. Now go on with that, brother.
And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
All right. Isn't that beautiful? This is God's Word that we're reading tonight. This is God's inspired Word. We don't even have a commentary. We don't even have a translation. We're studying the Word. Prophetes me ux or ex uthenete. Prophetic utterances, don't you despise. Don't look downward. Don't place them down. Don't take second. Don't put your experiences and your feelings above what God's Word says. Do not fight against God. The Holy Spirit. That's what it tells you now. And then in 21, Panta, Dei, Doki Mazete, To, Kalon, Kateketi. All right. In all things, you test what is good. When you know. I'll never forget Dr. Martin Canavan, one of my teachers. He said there was a woman in the church that was married to this drunk. And he was a gambler, gambled constantly, just had cards in his hand or rolling dice or playing bingo or something all the time, constantly gambling. And when it comes church time, he was gone to the bingo parlors, or he was gone to the card game, or over playing some slot machine someplace. Throwing money away, right and left. And his wife and children would go to church. And his wife would always ask prayer for her husband. This was her husband. You know what? She was an obedient wife. And after a year or so that she'd gone to this church, and this is up here, Madera, Modesto, or someplace, can't remember where Canavan was at that time. Maybe by myself, I don't know. But this guy had a little farm out there. And Martin Canavan, his sermons, they played them on the radio. And the guy, Martin Canavan, came to his house several different times and tried to witness to him, tried to get him to go to church, and he'd always take off and go get his pickup and take off. Go gamble. Go get drunk. One or the other. Well, he had this harrow, or what it was, is a bunch of boards stuck together and a piece of iron out there that he dragged behind his pickup. He had about 5 acres out there. And in the springtime, you know how the weeds come up around here out in the country. We'd go out there and he'd drag that thing around. And his wife says, he'd go out there and he'd get in that truck and he'd go out there and just drag this thing around and drag it around and drag it around and drag it around. There wasn't a weed out there. He was out there just stirring up dust, going around and around and around. What he was doing, he's listening to Martin Canavan on the radio. He wouldn't go to church, but he started listening to him on the radio. Well, the Holy Spirit was convicting him of sin, righteousness, of judgment to come. Righteousness.
the purity of life. And his wife went to church one morning. He was still out there going around and around and around and around in the car, and he was playing one of Martin Cowan's sermons on the radio. Took off down the road, unhooked that thing with that pickup, unhooked that drag behind it, and took off to church, run up there to church. And that's just about the time they were given the invitation. Busted open the doors in the front of the church house, ran down and fell at the altar. And God forgive me. He didn't know what in the world. He said he was just about to give the invitation. And he said, here this guy comes busting through the church, running down, tears down his face, all dusty and dirty and everything. And he didn't know what he was going to try to beat you up or what he was going to do to it. He ran down and fell at the altar. Then this guy got up and had the nerve to me, tell me, now what am I supposed to do? He said, remember when I came over to your house and you told me all the hypocrites that went to my church and all the bad things they were doing? Going down here, you saw them in the big bowl farmers. You saw them in the card games. You saw them at the bars. He said, quit doing it. Don't you ask me what to do. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know what you're not supposed to be doing. God wasn't finished with that rascal. God called him to preach. God called him to preach. Boy, God's word, really, the promises God gave to that woman and her word, you'd be a quiet wife. She didn't gripe at him at all. She just went on her way. She went and did what the Lord was supposed to do, and the Lord took care of him. In all things that you prove, you test the good, and you hold on to the good. You test what's good, and you hold on to it. 1 Corinthians 14:29, 1 John 4 and 1, Romans 12 and 9, 1 Thessalonians 5:15, Galatians 6 and 10. These are all part of this verse. The same thing. Paul is and John are is writing to these people, to different churches here, and telling them the same thing that he's saying in this verse. Do good. You know what good is. You know what bad is. When you're saved, if you don't know the right way to go, you're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself. You know the right thing to do. You know what not to do. Take the right thing and stick to it. Cling to it. Tenaciously hold to that which is good. That's what it says, kata ekete. Ekete means to hold on to. Echo means I hold. Kata means to hold real tight. When you know what the good is, do you hold on to that good and you hold on to it tight? 5 and verse 22. Look at all these little short verses. They're dynamite, though, aren't they? Huh? Dynamite stuff. Apo. Pontos. Adus. Poneru. Apo Egeste. I tell you what, these are short verses, but there's nitroglycerin in them. Dynamite. Just like what? Look at this. That kind of power. I guess I ought to hold that thing up in front of that camera there and let the camera see the dynamite power that we're talking about here. That type of holding power where the gun falls apart like that. It didn't fall apart, it exploded tremendously, as you can see. Look, how much power would it take to split that barrel like that and bend it like that? See where it went through the section?
Pontos, Adus, Poneru, Pekeste, from all four, all image of evil. That word evil there, poneru. Poneru. We get pornography from that. Prostitution. We get gambling from that word, twisted. Dishonest gain. You get drunkenness from that. Homosexuality. Everything comes from that word right there. That word, it ties into all. It means to take something. God gives you the ability to make a living. By the sweat of your brow shall you make your living. Not at the card tables, not at the bingo parlors,
not out shystering somebody and conning and scamming people. That's not the right way to do it. Women and men have attractions to each other. Same thing here. But don't use that to get gain. That is wrong. That's dishonest gain. And then we have the word kata ekete over here in 5:21. It says, hold on to something. And then we have apo echo here. Apo means what? Away from. And then echo means what? To hold yourself away from those things. You abstain from those things. And it's an imperative and it's a middle voice. Do it. I have a little note written down here that I wrote 20-something years ago. Abstain from these things, not only in obedience to God's word and will, but for your own good and welfare. What we also reap, that's exactly what we sow. We don't go out and sow to the flesh and then pray for God to give you a crop right here. When you do the wrong thing, it's going to come up in your children and your grandchildren. You will. I can guarantee you. When you do the wrong thing, it's going to come back for you to reap it. And you couldn't go out there and put Roundup on top of it, on the crop. It's going to come up. It will happen. It will follow you. It will haunt you. The law of sowing and reaping is an absolute law. It's an absolute axiom. A law that cannot be broken. What you sow, that's what you reap. 5 and verse 23. Right. Thank you, Marilyn. Altos, day. Ho. Theos. Teis. Arenes. Hagiase. Himas. Holectilos. Holectiles. Kai. Ho. Clairo. Himon. To. Numa. Kai. Hey, suke, kai, to, soma, ametos, hen, te, parousia, tu, kiriu, himon, esu, Christus, te, re, fame. This is a beautiful, I could teach a whole class on this verse. We may go back and look at this one again next week. Hebrews 8 and 7, Luke 1 and 6, Philippians 2:15, 1 Thessalonians 3:13, Romans 15:33, 1 Thessalonians 3:11, Luke 1 and 46, 2 Peter 3:14, James 1 and 4, 1 Thessalonians 2:19, 2 Corinthians 10:10, Matthew 24:3, 27 and 37 and 39, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 23. These are all cross references to this verse. This is a gigantic verse in Scripture. Now we all had all these little short verses, 2 and 3 Greek words. Now we have a big one, gigantic. Man's triune nature shall completely be redeemed this someday. His triune nature. As God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God's going to save you just like that. All of you. But God don't want you to just put everything in the pie in the sky. He wants you to start doing something right now. And He, the God of the peace, the God of peace wants you to become holy. Wants you to become separate from things of this world. Now this word here is a very, this mode in this verse, hagiase, is in the optative, its first aorist, optative active. Third person singular. Alright, now the God of peace, if you allow Him, He hopefully wants to change your life. If you allow it. That's the optative mode. To translate this, He hopefully wants to change your life. He hopefully wants to sanctify you. He wants to change your life to that which is good, to that which is a good example among your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your neighbors, your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers, your children. God wants to change your life. He loves you, and He wants to sanctify you. Ye, that's the Hemos. Holekteles. That word means completely. He wants to save you. He wants your life to be beautiful before other men. God wants to change your life so that you can be a witness, so that you can be an asset to your neighbors, an asset to your community, an asset to your country. A little boy down in Southern California, down by San Diego, his dog died. And he loved his dog, and he just cried. His dog just, he loved the dog. And then he found out that a policeman's dog had gone into this building after these druggers, drug gangs, and they shot and killed his dog. And it said in the newspaper, if the dog could only have a safety vest on, a bulletproof vest, the dog wouldn't have got killed. He might have got a rib broken or something like that, but he wouldn't have got killed. So this little boy thought about this, and he thought about his dog and everything, and he said, you know something, that police officer probably is suffering like I am, because he found out, he studied into this. This little boy is only in the fifth grade. So he got out there and he started a program to buy bulletproof vests for all these police dogs. And he went all over the place writing letters to everybody, and he raised money all over for these bulletproof vests for these dogs. Because something touched his life. He said, what can I do to change and help other people? What can you do for humanity while you're here on this earth? A fifth grade boy, he changed people's lives. Because he cared. He wanted to do something positive. How can you sanctify, allow God to sanctify you wholly and completely? First of all, you've got to give over your will to His, don't you? This word holos and telos is in here. To the end. To the end. God wants to change you to the end of your life. He doesn't want you to go off on sidetracks. He wants to save you, and He wants your life to be a complete example to everybody else. Then it says, Kai Ho Klero. Have you ever heard somebody say they'll buy the whole lot? You ever heard that term? That's what the word there that means the whole lot. He wants to completely save every part of your life. He wants to completely influence every part of your life. And God bought all of you. He didn't buy just your spirit when He saved you. He bought your life. He bought it all. You're His. And He wants you for your sake and for His sake. He wants all of you. All of you. He wants the entire lot of ye. It says, to pneuma, what does that mean? The spirit. Kai, hei, suke. He wants your spirit. He already have a born-again spirit in you. Then He wants your soul. The soul is your seat of affections. As I was telling you in philosophy one time, I wrote something down real profound. I said a human being is made up of all the experiences and how he has reacted to them. That's what you are. That's what your soul is. Your soul is all of the experiences that have happened in your life and how you have reacted to them. That's what your personality is. That's what your soul is. Okay? That's who your being is. God wants all of you, spirit and soul, and then kai to soma. What's this soma? Kaitosoma. That's your body. Oh. God wants all of you. He wants your spirit. He wants your soul. And He wants your body in His service. And how does He want it? Amentos. Unspotted from the world. Unspotted. Uncontaminated. And this is an adverbial. It means blamelessly, unspottedly, uncontaminatedly. And then it says, into parousia, tu kriu, himon esu Christu. The word parousia there means at the second coming of the Lord. What are you going to be doing when the Lord comes back and calls your name? Will you blush? Or will you say, Lord, I was glad you came today. Blamelessly in the presence of the Lord of us. The Jehovah, the one who became. That's what the word Kyrios there. That could be translated the Jehovah of us. Even Jesus Christ. And then here it says, may it be kept and guarded. What may what be kept and guarded? What may God keep and guard until the coming of the Lord? What's He keeping and guarding here? Holetiles, holekleron, himonto numa, kai heisuke, kai to soma. Your body, your spirit, and your soul. That's what He wants. May it be kept until He comes. May you guard it, because God has given you a very important thing to do. That important thing to do is to present yourself blameless to Him in this world. To walk His pathway. Paul, it was really preaching hard to this church, wasn't he? Well, Paul is preaching hard to us tonight here at Valley Baptist Church. Next week, we're going to start at 5:24. And it actually is a continuation. It says, Pistos ho kalon himas hos kai poi ese. Because the one that called you is faithful, God wants you to be faithful. Be faithful to Him. And we'll study that when we get back here next week. God bless you. Thank you for doing these hard seats, and I pray that God's Holy Spirit worked your heart over tonight, because that's what He's supposed to do in you. He's mopping the world off of you and cleaning you up so that you will be unspotted and uncontaminated by the world when He comes to take you away. God saves you by His merits. And that is true. You're saved by the grace of God. You're not saved by anything you do. But when you're saved, you change. Your life is changed because God, the Holy Spirit, if you listen to the Word. You know why you go to church? Why do you go to church?
Praise God.
You go to church to praise God, but you go to church to get spanked up straight. Believe it or not. You go to church so God can sanctify you for His service. That's why you go to church. I mean, we praise God. We should praise God when we come here. But we go to church so God can peel off the old Adam and keep it peeled off so that we can be useful to God. Thank you so much. And I pray that God's Spirit this week touches your life. Brother Ray, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful lesson tonight. All of us gathered here in this little room, I know, I just feel it, Lord, that we learned a great deal about getting closer to you, remaining with you, Lord, for the remaining part of our lives, and that you can use us, O Lord, for